Welcome back. In this session, we're building a heatwave-style respace patch in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're turning it into something that actually performs across an arrangement, not just a nice sound in solo, but a drop-ready bass system that can move from tight and subby to wide, snarling, and properly old-school in a way that feels musical. This is really about jungle and darker drum and bass thinking. In this style, the bass can't stay frozen. It has to talk to the breaks. It has to breathe. It has to evolve. If the bass is static for too long, the whole tune starts to feel looped. So our goal here is to build a respace patch that has macro controls at the center of its personality, then automate those macros like they're part of the arrangement itself. Let's start by building the instrument. Create a MIDI track and drop an instrument rack on it. Inside that rack, we're going to make two chains. One chain is for the sub, and the other is for the Reese character in the mids. On the sub chain, use operator or wavetable with a sine wave. Keep this chain clean and focused. We want mono, stable, and solid. No wide chorus, no extra drama. This is the foundation. If the low end gets messy here, the whole bass falls apart later in the mix. On the Reese chain, use something with a bit more movement. Wavetable, analog, or drift all work well. For that classic Reese feel, start with two detuned saws or a saw and square blend if you want a slightly rougher edge. Keep the detune modest, somewhere in the 5 to 20 cent range. If you overdo the detune, it starts sounding huge in solo but loses focus in the track. And for drum and bass, focus matters. Now shape the Reese layer with an auto filter. Put that after the synth. Then add chorus ensemble, then saturator. That order gives you a nice progression. Tone shaping, width. Then grit. Set the auto filter to low pass 24 dB, and keep the cutoff somewhere in the lower mid-range to start, depending on the pitch of the notes. We're not trying to make it dull, just controlled. Add a little drive if needed. On the chorus ensemble, keep the effect subtle. We want width and life, not a cheesy wobble. This is a Reese, not a trance lead. Then add saturator with soft clip enabled. A few dB of drive is usually enough to bring out the harmonics and make the bass feel more forward. If you want some slow organic movement, add Live 12 LFO and map it gently to cutoff or drive. Keep the depth low. This is one of those places where less really is more. The best Reese movement often feels like tension, not a noticeable effect. Now comes the important part. Mapping the rack to macros. We want 6 to 8 macros here, because the point is to create a playable performance surface. Think of the rack like an instrument you can automate, not just a preset you leave alone. A strong macro setup would be this. Macro 1, sub-level macro 2, Reese width macro 3, detune or spread macro 4, filter open macro 5, dirt or drive macro 6, motion macro 7, bite or presence macro 8, air or top tail. Map sub-level to the gain of the sub-chain. Map Reese width to the chorus width or utility width control on the Reese chain. Map detune or spread to oscillator fine-tuning or unison spread. Map filter open to the auto-filter cutoff. Map dirt to saturator drive, maybe with a little extra overdrive if you want it nastier. Map motion to your LFO depth or filter modulation amount. Bite can go to an EQ boost in the upper mids or some extra saturation color. And air can be a very gentle high shelf or even a reverb send, if you want a little shadow around the top. The key here is to keep the macro ranges musical. Width should move from narrow and controlled to wide but still safe. Dirt should move from clean to obviously clipped without destroying the tone. Filter open should go from dark to aggressive. Motion should feel like the bass starts to wake up. Each macro needs a clear job. If one macro tries to do everything, it usually becomes hard to control in a real arrangement. Now let's write the MIDI part. Keep it simple and functional. We want a 2-bar or 4-bar bass phrase that leaves room for the drums. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass doesn't need to hit every beat. In fact, it sounds better when it doesn't. Use short notes, rests, and a bit of call and response. A good starting shape is this: a low note hit on the end of 1 in bar 1, a syncopated repeat in bar 2, maybe the higher note or octave jump in bar 3 if you're doing 4 bars, and then a tension note with a pause before the loop resets. That space is important. It gives the break room to breathe, and makes the bass feel like it's pushing the rhythm instead of sitting on top of it. Keep the note lengths controlled. Shorter notes give you a more classic roller or old-school feel. Slightly longer notes can lean a bit more narrow and pressured. Use velocity variation if your sound responds to it, because those tiny accents help the bass phrase feel alive. Now let's make this thing behave like a record, not just a loop. Go to Arrangement View and start automating the macros across sections. Don't think of automation as an effect. Think of it as arrangement movement. For the intro or breakdown, keep the sub strong, the width narrow, the filter low, and the dirt low. That gives you tension without giving away the full character. Then, as the drop arrives, begin opening the filter over one or two bars. Bring in a little more drive. Add a touch of motion. Keep it restrained in the first phrase so the initial impact feels punchy. In the second phrase of the drop, open the width a bit more and let the bass breathe wider. Add presence if the mix can take it. If things start getting crowded, reduce the sub very slightly, but only enough to clear space. Then in the switch up, push the dirt and motion harder for a moment, and pull them back suddenly. That contrast is gold. In drum and bass, tension often comes from the change itself, not from constant heaviness. A really effective automation move is to open the filter over a bar or two before the drop, then let width open later, after the first phrase has already landed. That way the bass starts focused and gets bigger as the section unfolds. Another strong move is to let dirt rise through the first half of a phrase, then snap it back for the next section. That makes the bass feel like it's evolving in real time. And don't automate everything at once. That's a classic mistake. If every macro moves all the time, the bass loses identity. Usually one or two strong changes per phrase is enough. In this style, precision beats chaos. Now let's add some old-school grime through resampling. Record the bass output to an audio track. Print a bar or two with it automation active. Then use that audio as a source for fills and chopped moments. This is where things start feeling more like jungle. A live classic bass energy came from abusing audio, not just programming synths. You can slice the resampled audio, reverse a hit, pitch a fragment down slightly, or use simpler to turn it into a playable stab layer. Even a tiny chopped bass hit can make a fill land harder. And because it's printed audio, it has a different kind of grit from the live synth version. This is especially useful in a switch-up section. You can have the clean Reese answer the drums, then bring in a resampled, dirtier version for a bar or two. That contrast gives the arrangement a real narrative. Now we need to keep the bass locked to the drums. Use sidechain style discipline, but don't overdo it unless the style calls for obvious pumping. A compressor on the bass bus with a kick or ghost trigger can work well. Start with a quick attack, a moderate release, and a light ratio. You're aiming for subtle movement, not a flattened low end. Sometimes in darker roller material, it's better to use note length trimming and volume automation instead of heavy sidechain. That keeps the bass weight intact while still letting the break speak. The goal is for the bass to sit in the pocket, not to fight the drums for space. Now let's clean it up with EQ and mono control. Put an EQ 8 and a utility on the bass bus. Keep the sub mono, especially below around 120 Hz if needed. High pass the Reese layer carefully so the low end stays separate. Often somewhere around 70 to 120 Hz works, depending on the patch and the notes. If the mid bass gets cloudy, carve a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If the distortion gets harsh, look around the 2 to 5 Hz zone. Always check the bass in mono. A Reese can sound massive in stereo but collapse badly if the low mid energy is sloppy. In club music, that low end discipline matters more than flashy width. Now let's think like arrangers, not just sound designers. Use automation to create section identity. Maybe the first four bars of the drop are restrained and heavy on sub. Then the next four bars open up and get dirtier. Then you throw in a one beat bass stop or a filtered choke. After that, bring in a more broken up, resampled answer. This kind of structure is what keeps jungle and DN beat arrangements feeling alive. A really effective move is to let the bass respond to the drums. If the drums throw in a fill, the bass can answer with a filter snap. If the snare rushes, the bass can choke briefly. If the break restarts, bring the bass back wider and dirtier. That call and response energy is part of what makes old school inspired DN beat feel so exciting. Here are a few advanced ideas to keep in mind while you work. If a macro feels too broad, split it into two. For example, one control can manage a safe filter movement, while another controls the wild drive range. That gives you more precision and keeps the mix from blowing up unexpectedly. Build headroom before you automate. If the patch only sounds good once macros are moving, the gain staging may be off. You want the fully opened version to still feel controlled. Then automation becomes a creative choice, not a rescue mission. Use different automation speeds for different jobs. A fast move is great for impact. A slow drift is better for evolving a phrase. A half-bar filter snap and a four-bar filter drift may both end in the same place, but they feel completely different. And listen, don't just draw automation by eye. Watch where the drums lose authority. Notice where the snare crack gets masked. Here where the groove starts to drag. Those are the spots where the automation needs shaping. If you want to push this even further, split the reese into a clean layer and a rect layer. Keep one stable and let the other carry the obvious motion and distortion. Then crossfade between them across sections. That's a very powerful way to get contrast without losing the core identity of the bass. You can also build a panic macro, something that increases dirt, closes the filter a bit, and narrows the width all at once. That's perfect for breakdown hits or pre-drop tension. It's a dramatic move, and in this genre, dramatic moves can be incredible when used sparingly. For a more authentic jungle feel, try abrupt state changes instead of smooth EDM style sweeps. Hard flips between clean and dirty can feel much more period correct and much more dangerous. Here's a good practice move.